Thank you, Lord. Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter to you. God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you. And not just any God, the God of gods. In the Bible, he says his name is Yahweh. Basically, it means I was, I am, I will forever be. However, something else, my guess is something else in your life has your attention. Something else in your life has your interest. There is something else in your life that has your devotion. You spend hours with it. When you're away from it for too long, you start feeling anxious inside and stressed and worried. You take really good care of it and keep it really close to you. It's this right here. This has become our attention, our devotion, our interest. Isn't it true? When you are away from your phone, you start feeling anxious, like, where's my phone? Where's my phone? I gotta have my phone with me. Why? Why is that? I believe part of the reason, it's an escape. It's a diversion. It's a distraction from all the things that are happening out there in the world and all the things that are going on right here and right here. The uncertainty and confusion in the world today. There's so much unknown. And don't you feel like the world is changing and it's speeding up? And there's so much unknown. There's conflict. There's complications. There's tension. Morals and even common sense seems to be upside down. Financial and economic stress, internal tension and stress, insecurity, anxiousness, pressure, loneliness, relational problems, relational difficulties, issues with family and friends, just trials, problems, things going on. That's why we need Easter and what Easter is about. The Easter message is that God, the God, wants an intimate, personal relationship with you. And he has gone to great lengths to let you know, You know, there's many things you can choose. There's many things we can choose to give our devotion to. There are also many gods that you can choose from. Many different religions, many gods you can choose from. Today, I want to make a case to you for the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. First, he made you. This is before the beginning of a world, before you were even an embryo, he had you in mind. You know, from the example of science today, of DNA, it's clear, to me, it's very, very clear when you really Just do a cursory look in DNA. It's clear that we are not here by chance. We are not here by an accident. Did you know that in a single cell, one cell, and you have billions, I don't know, billions, trillions, whatever, many, many cells in your body, every single cell, in just one cell, there are over 3 billion pairs of DNA. They say, right? The helix representing the DNA. Scientists have now compared a DNA strand to a very compact, complicated computer program with millions of lines of code. That's what DNA is. It's basically an information storage. And there are millions, it's like a complex computer program with millions and millions and millions of lines of code. And that code contains all the information needed for your existence, for you being here today. It gives out the instructions of how the cells are supposed to replicate, what cells are needed, how they are supposed to function together, and all the processes that go along in your body. It's all from the code, the information in the DNA. Now just think for a minute. That's fact. Scientific fact. That's true. Do you actually think that came about randomly by chance? Just like a computer, the complex computer software program, all these lines of code. Do you really think that came about by chance? If you hop on your computer and start doing your programs or start going on the internet or start doing whatever you do on your computer, you step back and you say, do you say, that just happened randomly? This computer appeared, this software appeared, had all this information telling what to do, where to go, what's going on. Do you really think, come on now, come on. You know there is an intelligence. There is a purpose. There is a design behind that. Same and even more so with you. With you. Romans 1:20 from the Bible says this. From the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities. We can't see God, but we can see evidence of him. His invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly observed in what he made. As a result of just looking in the universe, looking at your whole own human body, looking how you were formed, looking at the complexity, as a result, people have no excuse. We have no excuse. It's all plainly there. Just one example, the DNA points you clearly to the fact there's something out there. Some mind, some being, some entity that made you. That's first. I believe God made you. Second, he is ultimately good. He didn't just make you and like the DS wound up a clock and set it off. He is ultimately good, and he, the God that made you, the God of the universe, loves you. He had you in mind and made you because he loves you. And he has your best interest in mind, always, always, always. And I believe that's the God of the Bible, Yahweh. And he is really the only one of all the gods. He's the God of gods. He's the only one worthy of your time, your attention, your devotion, your worship, and your life. Only him. You know, it said a picture, we've heard this, a picture is worth a thousand words. Ultimately, the God of the Bible is all about and can all be summed up in one incredible picture. It's this one right here. In this picture can be summed up who the God of the Bible is. And what this picture says is, he sent his son, and Jesus willingly came for you. The God of the universe did that for you, to show us, to clearly demonstrate to you how much you mean to him. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, I passed on what was most important and had also been passed on to me. That's Apostle Paul talking. He says this, Christ died for our sins. You know why Jesus came? It's because we were in big trouble. We were in big trouble because of our sin, because of our wrongs, because of the way we hurt others and one another, because of the way we disobey and rebel against God. Our sin condemns us to death and judgment and hell. But God sent Christ, and he says, to die for our sins. Just as the scripture said, he was buried, he was dead, buried for 3 days. And he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen, physically seen, by Peter and then the 12, all his closest followers. They saw him alive after he was dead in the ground for 3 days. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. You know why that's important, that he says most of whom is still alive? Because at the time he was writing this letter to the churches and to people to read, he says, hey, there was over 500 people that actually physically saw Jesus alive. Go talk to them. Most of them are still alive. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not trying to pull a scam on you. You go talk to them too. You can ask them for yourself. Did you see Jesus alive? And they will say, yes, we did. Yes, we did. And Jesus came so that you can have complete forgiveness. You know, one of our seniors I love, respect him so much, Paul Hatanaki, sitting in the back. Paul, we go back many, many years, I think. Anyway, we go back many years. But he was telling me the story, this was a while back, of him talking on the phone with one of his friends. And his friend had terminal cancer. And so Paul felt moved. He goes, my friend's dying. I need to share with my friend about the God of the Bible, about Jesus. And so he started sharing with him, and he shared with his friend about how Jesus came and he died, and you could be forgiven of all your sins, all your wrongs, all your guilt, all your shame. And you know what the friend said? He was probably in his 80s. The friends, or 70s or 80s, the friend said, really? I never knew that. So I never knew that. I never knew that's the heart of Christianity. That's who God of the Bible is. That's who Yahweh is. He cares about that man and you so much that he sent his son to die and take the judgment that we deserved. And because of that, all your sins, your wrongs, the way you've hurt other people, the way you've all of that can completely be wiped clean. I don't think many of us realize how much guilt, how much shame, how many regrets we carry. We've all done many, many times hurtful, sinful, wrong things. I think for a lot of people, they don't realize that a lot of their actions, a lot of decisions are driven because there's unresolved underlying hurt, guilt, shame. You just talk to someone. Tell me about your family. Tell me about your relatives. Tell me about your friends. Everyone has people in their life that, oh man, I don't want to see that person. Or, I wronged that person. Wiped away. Clean. Free. Free from all that stuff. Right now I'm going to show a video clip. And it involves Jesus and going to the cross. It's a little bit graphic. I just want to say it is a little bit graphic, but I feel like it's very important to see that, because in seeing it, it's not just here. In seeing a representation of it, you feel, you experience, you get a taste of the power, the intensity, the greatness of the love that God has for you. Not just here, but really where it counts, right here. Okay, so let's watch this.
Thank you. come true. Nothing that I wouldn't do. Go to the ends of the earth for you, to make you feel my love, to make you feel my
magnitude, the greatness, the intensity of the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through, not just physically. Jesus is God, and that's the first time he had ever been separated from his Father. But all the pain is only surpassed by the greatness, the magnitude of his love for you. Because you mean that much to him. But the cross is just half the story. If that's where the story ended, then I think Good Friday could almost be said to be Bad Friday. Because that's just half the story. Jesus on the cross dealt with all the bad stuff, the sin, the shame, the death, the guilt. But this picture here represents all the good stuff he wants for you. The empty tomb. Because Jesus came back to life to demonstrate he was who he says he was. He conquered death so that you can know he paves the way for you to overcome death as well. Every one of us, every one of you is going to die. But he paves a way so you can know he wants to give you what he has. Resurrected. New life and a relationship with God. You know, I don't know what you think about eternal life. It's very interesting to me that no matter how people live, most of the time, almost all the time, to many, many funerals, at the very end, everyone thinks they're going to go to heaven. Everyone, no matter how they live their life, no matter what they believe, everyone thinks, I think I'm going to go to heaven, or they hope to go to heaven. But you know, in the Bible, eternal life, it doesn't say that eternal life is a place. It's not like heaven. That's not really primarily what eternal life is. It's not a time. It's not necessarily living forever. But the Bible says eternal life is one thing, and it's this right here from John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The Bible says eternal life is you knowing the Father who made you. And not just knowing him, you having a relationship with Father God, the God of gods. That's what life is. That's what eternal life is. You know, I believe with all my heart, whether you realize it or not, whether you're aware of it or not, God is after you. God is pursuing you. He wants you to know him. He's given you signs and signals. He's working in your life to open your eyes to him. And I believe, 100%, I believe he's trying to get your attention right now. He's trying to get your attention. His spirit is the one. God's spirit is the one that prompted you to be here today. Because he's drawing you. He's trying to draw you. He's trying to open your eyes to him. Because he wants you to know him. He will use all kinds of stuff. You know, Easter, the empty tomb, Jesus' resurrection are the biggest supernatural sign in all of history. Because it demonstrates that he's for real and that he loves you. But Jesus and his spirit are alive and working today. They are working today. They are working in your life to try to get your attention. And he will use good things, blessings. He will use difficult things because some of us are stubborn and hard-headed. And he has to use difficult things to try to get your attention. He will use coincidences. They said, that was weird. That was a coincidence. No, it's not. He's trying to get your eyes open and get your attention. He will use dreams. He will use friends. He will use pastors. Hey, hey. To try to get your attention. To try to open your eyes. To try to awaken you to the reality that he exists and he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And that he has an amazing purpose for you. Sometimes we're finding and we're trying to step into. Sometimes God uses healing to try to get your attention. To show you that this life, this material world, that's not all there is. There's supernatural things. There's God things. And sometimes he heals people. And we've been seeing people getting healed, physically getting healed, because he's trying to show people, I'm here. I'm real. I want a relationship with you. Right now, we're going to have a testimonies. And Damon's going to come back. And we're going to just have a short, brief testimony from three people that have actually fairly recently been healed, physically healed by the Lord. So let's give them a hand.
I'm back. Dan, come on up too. So in the Corinthians passage that Pastor Barry shared earlier, he said there were 500 people that were still alive that you could go talk to that have seen Jesus alive again after he was crucified on the cross. So this morning we wanted to share a few people that have experienced the care and the power of the living Christ in their life through healing. So our first guest, this is Trish. She's one of our MCs. And so we've been having these different healing services. One we're going to have again next Sunday evening. So if you need healing, you can come out to our healing service. But Trish is one of our MCs, and she actually had to convince herself to come to the healing service by being the MC. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes. When I MC'd, I confessed to my family that I did not want to go to the healing service for many reasons. One of them is, what if I'm not healed? Or what if I get prayed for and I have to look the person in the eye and say, I'm still in pain? Like, there's just all these thoughts going through my head. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit's voice was louder, and I've, for many years now, know that when there is something stopping you to go to Jesus, that means you have to go. And I'm at, even just scheduling, you know, I'm missing my son's championship game. I came.
Okay, so
mainly
what,
because I was like being accountable, because I, oh, you guys would call me out if I didn't show up. So I was like, I have to go.
Okay, so what was in pain before and what was your issue?
Oh my gosh, that's funny. So I mean, for years I have like bad knees. I have a, like, I call it a trick hip. If I get up a certain way, I'm in so much pain. Recently, my right elbow is just, it's just pain all the time. And then my left shoulder.
Okay.
That's a short list.
Okay, so you convinced yourself by being the MC that you had to go to the healing service. So you go to the healing service and you are called out to, your number gets called to come get prayer. And what happens?
Oh my gosh, I was number 31 out of 40 something. So I had to wait a long time. And literally sitting there, had the best conversation with Joanna, but that's a blessing in itself. But I was like, okay, maybe my purpose was to talk to Joanna. And I was gonna leave, because everyone saw me here, so I can leave. I got called. Oh, I tried to give my number away to Joanna because she was 38 and she was like, no. And I was like, fine, but it was all a setup because you know who is waiting to pray for me? Catherine.
And what did Catherine say to
no,
you?
No, wait, Jane and Joey.
It was Sandra, not Jane.
Oh, yes, sorry. I'm so sorry.
You just gotta make sorry. Sure we're fact checking
yes.
you.
Yeah, thank you. It was a blur. Well, I told them that whole list because I thought it would be funny. Like, I don't know, pick one. You have a lot to choose from. So I told them my whole list and I sat there and Sanjo looked at Catherine and was like, do you have anything for her? And Catherine, oh my gosh, looked at me and was like, I'm gonna go last because I have a word for her gaping hole in her chest. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be really, really good. Because if you've ever spoken with Catherine, sorry if I got the words wrong. I don't fully remember. I just was in shock. And so they prayed for me. And then Catherine, and no physical healing, none. But I was sitting there and I was like, here comes Catherine. in the best way possible. That's how God created me. I needed to be called out, and I need harshness and hard truth sometimes. And that was the night that I was not physically healed, but I was, my soul, my spirit, everything was just healed from that night.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you went for physical healing, but you received a different kind of healing.
Yes.
And you were happy about that, actually.
I was so happy I wasn't physically healed, because I knew, like, being a Christian for so long, that I knew there's a reason this needed to be healed first. And then it's kind of like icing on the cake, like, oh, when? Like, how will I be healed? Because I'm a firm believer, like I say it about myself all the time, like, God will heal me on earth or he'll heal me in heaven. You know, like, there will be healing at some point for me. And so I just, I felt more loved that I was healed in my heart than physical.
But fortunately, you had another experience a couple weeks later, and you were actually picking up some cookies from someone. Can you share a little bit about that?
Is she here?
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you, Dale. So, Belinda, my dearest sister in Christ, makes amazing cookies, and I'm trying to get her healing cookie ministry off the ground. We're gonna start that. And I'm a talker, so I try to really be aware of that, because if I go to you, we can talk for an hour, and I know that's not everyone's cup of tea. So when I'm picking up my cookies from her at her house late at night, well, late for me, early for her, 8 p.m., if you know Belinda, I try to just get the cookies and leave. I don't want to intrude, blah, blah, blah. Well, she started it. We go outside, she walks me out, and she said, hey, how was the healing service for you? And my brain goes, do I go long version or short version? So I went the long version because it's Belinda. And honestly, I forgot everyone who was up here to pray for people. I couldn't remember everyone. And then she was one of the groups that was praying. And so I told her everything. It's a very long story. And there was something very different about Belinda that night. I've known her since CBC days. And she will pray for you very fast and like right away, but there was something different. So I was telling her, I was so happy I didn't get physical healing. I told her that. And then she's like, let's pray right now. And I was like, oh my gosh. But it was like fire, and then all the thoughts and stuff were coming in my head, and I was like, I don't want to be prayed physically because of everything that I told you earlier. And she just went for it. And she did not ask me to test it out. And I was like, hallelujah. And I just kept she prayed specifically for my shoulder. And we continued talking. And she didn't ask me to test it or anything. And I just kind of kept my arm, like I always do, to my side. And I'm not Italian, but I am Italian because I talk with my hands a lot. So I just went like, we said something, and then I just threw my arm up, and I like, Belinda, there is no pain. And we were just like, oh my gosh. And then I proceeded to tell her, oh, then the doubt, like, there's so, just if I could shut my brain up sometimes. And then I started telling her and confessing to her about the doubt. And then she's like, she just preached on the doubt part. And I was like, I was meant to tell you all this. And she was like, in Jesus' name, no, we're not going backwards. Like, she was like preaching to me. And I was like, yes, Belinda. I was like, okay, I'm going to hold on to this. And if I start to feel something, I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, no, I am healed and we are not going backwards. And so I did tell her that I was going to start a healing cookie ministry, and she just laughed it off. But we'll see. I'm just putting that out there still. If you order cookies from Belinda, maybe you'll get prayer by her front door.
And your shoulder and your arms are still good.
Yeah. So my shoulder is still good. Again, I'm so excited that my elbow hurts really bad because I meant, when? It's none of my business. It's God's business. So I'm just excited to wait for like the healing for other places.
And if you want to hear more of Trish's story, you can listen to the podcast because there's a lot more too. So thanks, Trish. Okay, so this is Chie. Okay. So Chie, you were dealing with some physical pain for a few years, right? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there was a work incident that just significantly just increased my stress and anxiety. And back in November of 2023, like around a little bit after Thanksgiving, I started what was later diagnosed as fibromyalgia. So really pain, lots of bone and like body aches and pain. And I just wouldn't feel good. I would tell the doctor, I feel sick, but then they do all the tests and I don't come out sick. And then I would get nauseous and headache, and you know, it's like a varying degree, but yeah.
Okay, so you were dealing with fibromyalgia for a few years. Let's skip ahead. You have a specific date, right?
Yes, so January 18th of this year, 2026. So back in with Pastor Dean was here.
Okay, so Pastor Dean, who's leading our healing services, he was here to speak on a Sunday morning, and she was excited because maybe she could get some prayer for healing that morning. But an incident came up, and she was actually not in the room for most of the service. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, so I was in the front as usual, and then there was something going on, and then I was like, oh, do I go or do I stay? Like, so it was like a very big struggle for me. Like for 2 minutes, I struggled. And then I'm like, no, I need to go. So I went outside, And, you know, but then I ended up talking to some other people too. And then Pastor Barry, he goes, oh, Pastor Dean's talking about the physical healing. And then I came back in, I ran back in, and then I just kind of do like a body check. And I'm like, oh, this is weird. I'm not feeling anything. Like, I was here like about a 3, so it was pretty low for that day. But usually by that time, it's about a 5 or a 6. And I felt 0, like nothing. And then a couple hours later, I was like, I went out with a lunch with a friend, and it really works my central nervous system, I feel like. Like, hearing and vision, I don't feel good. But I felt fine.
So that day, you came in experiencing fibromyalgia. You weren't even in the room when they started praying for healing. Mm-hmm. And then you left that day. And have you had any pain since then?
You know, it's interesting because I think I was hearing one of the kids. And then they're like, you know, they just pray, right? They just pray and rebuke it. And so I had, like, you know, like here and there. As soon as I feel anything, like a hint of pain, I just declare it to be gone. Sometimes it's like instant. Sometime it lasts for a little while, but for the most part, it's a 0.
And so you feel like you've been healed from fibromyalgia?
Yes.
So thank you, Jesus. Okay, so and so this is Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Okay, so Dan's experience is a little bit different, too. So a few weeks ago or a few months ago, you were experiencing some pain in your foot. Right, and can you share a little bit about your process and what happened after you started to feel pain?
Sure. A few weeks ago, I started experiencing pain in my left foot. And I was telling my wife, Christine, you know, my foot hurts. And she goes, well, you should go see your doctor. Okay. And over the days, it got worse. It didn't get better. It got actually worse. And then she goes, no, you have to go see the doctor. And I remember, like, that at that time, like, to me, level 10 is I'm screaming. So it wasn't at level 10 because I wasn't screaming. So, but to me, it was like a level 9 because I was talking to Christine like this. I was like, okay, I will go to the doctor now. And then, so I went, and then my foot was swollen. It's red. Hurts like crazy. So I see my doctor, and he looks at it, and he goes, you need to go see your orthopedic doctor right away. Okay. And fortunately, I had an orthopedic doctor, too. So I didn't have to wait for the new patient, whatever. And so in a couple days, I had an appointment with him. And he looks at my foot, and the first thing he says is, have you ever had gout before? And I said, I don't even know what gout is. What is it? And he goes, oh, do you eat a lot of red meat? No, I don't. After I said that to Christine, she goes, yes, you do. You eat a bunch of red meat. Okay. Normally, I eat chicken every day, or Monday through Thursday, I eat chicken. But she goes, no, you on weekends, you eat red meat like crazy. Okay. So anyways, and he goes, do you eat shellfish? No, I eat shellfish. I think you have gout. And he gave me a boot. So that helped a lot. And also, when it hurt, I started developing a pain in my left hip because I'm compensating for my hurt left foot. And so now I've got a hurt left foot and a hurt right hip, and so I'm almost wonky and everything. And so I come to church with a boot on, and then after service, Pastor Ross comes up and he goes, hey, what's that? I said, oh, I think I have gout. And he goes, okay, well, let me see. Let me pray for you. Take your boot off and take your socks off, and let me lay my hands on your foot. And I'm thinking, oh no, he's gonna put his hands on my dirty, grimy feet. and so he started praying. And at that time, my pain level was like an 8. Oh. And hello. My pain levels was like an 8. And then he prayed, and then it went down to a 6. And then...
Higher.
Got it. Newbie. Anyways, it went from like an 8 to a 6. And he goes, let's pray again. And then from a 6, it went down to like a 4, I think, or 4 or 3. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And then later that night, we had the healing service. And then I got partnered up with B and Tim. And then they prayed over me. And then from, what did I say, like a 4, it went down to a 2. And it was crazy. And then my hip, they prayed over my hip too. And my hip pain went away. And they were saying, oh, go walk back and forth. And I had no hip pain at all. In fact, I didn't even remember I had hip pain. It was crazy. And then the following day, it went to 0. And so, yeah.
So in the course of a day, you went from like a 9 all the way down to like a 0.
Yeah.
Just through people praying for you and experiencing the Lord's touch on your life.
Exactly, yes.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Dan. All right, so we just hear these testimonies as ways to hear people's experience with the ways that the Lord has really touched them and shown his care and his power in their life. So bring back Pastor Barry.
I felt like we needed to take time for you to hear that so that you can just see God's alive, God's working today, and he wants you. And he's going to do whatever it takes to try to get your attention. Try to get your attention. I'm going to call up one of our newest elders, Tim Hino. And then he's going to just kind of close this time just by sharing a few things and just in prayer. And then we'll wrap up the message.
So, wow, those are some great testimonies from the kids, from the adults. But I just want to ask, like, why do we share these testimonies? What's the purpose of it? You know, like, these are great stories that, you know, people share. Oh, that's cool that God healed that person over there. You know, that's a cool story. But, you know, really, the main purpose of these testimonies is to really just give God the glory and to show how great and awesome God is, how big of a healer he is, and that God's alive and real today, and not just a story in the Bible or those Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, you know, movie, Parting the Sea, oh, that's cool, way back when, but that God is alive today. And, you know, in the testimony, the Hebrew root word, and you guys can look this up to fact check me, but in the root word in the Hebrew for testimony is to say repeat again. And to share testimonies, we're saying that God can do this again and that it can happen to you, it can happen to someone else. So your testimonies are not to just be for yourself and to hold it to yourself and not to share it to anybody. But your testimony could be a breakthrough or something that can touch someone else. So that's why we share these testimonies. You know, some of these testimonies were physical healing, spiritual healing, you know, emotional healing, and just experiencing God. And so there's a lot of these 6-7 testimonies that we heard. So if you want a breakthrough in your life right now and, you know, hearing these testimonies, like that resonates with you, you can get that too. And I believe that God can heal you, God can touch you in this moment now. So I just want to do a little something. You know, if you want that, I'm going to have everyone, I'm not going to call you guys out. I want everyone to do it now. So I just want everyone to put their hands out, just out here. I'm going to just say a prayer. And if you want to just have that physical healing, have that emotional healing, just even experience God, you know, for the first time. Or if you haven't experienced God in a while, maybe, and you forgot, maybe this is the time. So I'm just going to close your eyes, put your hands out, and I'm just going to say a quick prayer. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you how big and great you are. And we just say, come now. Come now and just meet each one of these people where they're at. Just ask for your presence, God, right now. Just release over each one of these people here. We thank you for that you're an amazing God. You're a great healer. You're the comforter. You love us so much. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And go ahead and test it out later on. If you get healed, awesome. Share that testimony, right? Share that experience so someone else can get that breakthrough. If you felt that peace of Jesus right here, you just felt peace inside, that's Jesus. So share that. That's an awesome testimony. So,
okay. Thanks, Sam. I'm going to call the worship team up. And while we're worshiping the Lord, I just sense that the Lord's here because Jesus is alive. His spirit is alive and moving and working. And so if you, whatever you need from the Lord today, as we worship, I just challenge you to just open your heart and just ask the Lord to demonstrate himself to you, meet you. Say, Lord, if you're real, I want to know you. And just give him a chance. And I believe during that time, you're going to feel something, you're going to sense something, experience something, because we don't want to just talk about something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's going to be relevant for you today. That's what he wants, okay? And so we'll have time to worship, and I just encourage you, as we worship, as you hear the words of the songs, just go to the Lord, ask him, Lord, show yourself to me. Show yourself to me. So Father God, we just, Holy Spirit, we just ask for you to move in this time, that you would meet each and every person where they're at. You see them, you know them, you made them, and you're pursuing them. And you want them to see and experience your power and your goodness and your love. So would you meet them now, each and every person, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to worship for a few songs.